There are four passages of Scripture I want you to read with me, please. The first is in the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, and we will read in chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. If you're in the neighborhood of the Psalms, then following the Psalms of Proverbs and in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 2. There are four houses that I want to read about from the Bible tonight, and this is the first. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all flesh, all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Now the other three passages are in Luke's Gospel, first in chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Verse 22, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and get to his room. And the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Now the third house we will look at is in the following chapter, chapter 15. We'll read at verse 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently, till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Now the next chapter will be our concluding reading, chapter 16. I think we will read just at verse 27. A passage solemn beyond expression, because these words that we will read are coming to us on the authority of the Lord Jesus, and they are coming to us from the depths of hell. Then he, the man who is in hell, who has lost his soul, said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Very simply tonight, I want to impress on all our hearts eternal lessons from these four houses. I do not know anything more important than to preach eternal truths to you tonight. It's a privilege to see so many here. There may be some here this evening I will never have the privilege of seeing again. I am bound for heaven. Thank God for that great truth. I wish I knew that every person here in this tent tonight will be in heaven forever, because I am absolutely convinced that when everything else is all weighed up properly, nothing else matters. I want you to look at this house that we have read of in Luke chapter 16 and consider with me serenity in this house. If I could only paint the picture as it appeals to me, there is something so stirring about the house that is represented here, because you're looking at a house that is being discussed from the depths of hell. And there are five brethren in the Father's house. And the man who has died, it is reflecting back on them, and just at the present moment, they are probably speaking about him. And they're thinking about one who has been taken from them. And all is serenity in that house. They have been shocked by death. They're upset. But after all, by comparison, there's serenity in that house on earth. There's another house, or another place, a real place that the Lord Jesus tells us about,
It's a place that he describes with words like this. Torment, fire, a place where there is no water and no comfort. This is not the word of some religious fanatic. This is the word of the fountain of all truth. The Lord Jesus is speaking about a place called hell. He is speaking to us about a man who is praying earnestly. This man has never been so in earnest in his life. This man has never been so stirred, so moved. And what a revealing look is this. On the one hand, you look at a man in the midst of a place of feverish concern. And on the other hand, you're looking at a house of serene calm. These men are not bothering to think about eternity. These men are not bothering to think about the Bible. These men have no thoughts and qualms about sin and about meeting God. They are dreaming through life. This man is concerned because he knows that they are going where he is. These men are calm because they never give it a thought. And as we preach the gospel tonight, what alarms me, frankly, what stirs my heart is this, that in this large gathering tonight, there are souls that are calmly, serenely, going down the road to a burning hell. And they're not alarmed by the truth of it. My friend, tonight, just for a moment, let me ask you to consider a possibility that may never have come into your mind before. Supposing, after all, there is a hell. The Lord Jesus says there is. Supposing, after all, that every person who is not born again will be in hell. And the Lord Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There is a hell. Those who are not born of them will be there. Suppose for a moment, one more time, suppose tonight that you have never been born again. You are living and breathing, sitting in a gospel tent tonight, one breath away from an eternal existence of torment in a real place of which the Lord Jesus spoke. You say, preacher, come on now. I have come to have some instruction about religious things. I'm interested to hear what you believe. I don't appreciate your approaching me on such a direct level. I can't apologize. If I could do what I am trying to do more effectively, I would be happy to do it. My thinking tonight, there is absolutely nothing more important than the possibility that there are some in this present gathering who are going to hell, who don't know it. They're calm, drifting down the way. And one of these days, they will wake as this man woke in the depths of hell. I can tell you, in that place to which he went, men and women are never calm. Men and women never have peace there. All this man is occupied with is, first of all, is there any possibility of comfort for me? And he finds to his terror, there is no hope here. And he says that if there's no hope for me, is there any hope for others that are coming here? If there's any way to stop them on the other side. Stop them before they come here. Five brethren are mumbling together about the dear brother that's gone. And they're mumbling together about what they're going to do when they get a chance to get back to business. And they're mumbling together about how they're going to divide the money he's left behind. And they are totally unconcerned about eternity. You know what the problem is in that house? There's a revealing book that they haven't touched. There's a book that has truth about the next world. It's the only source of light about that next world. And unless men and women are willing to allow the truth of that book to guide them, there is no possibility they will ever be alarmed about the world to come. Unless men and women allow the truth of that book to awaken them, there is no possibility that they will ever avoid the flames of eternal judgment. Because I want to tell you tonight, with the authority of that same book before me, likely lying in your lap tonight, that sin must be judged. And your sin is the one thing about you that is demanding an eternity in hell. My friend, tonight, will you not stop to consider what God is saying in His book? This first house tells me something of the awful truth of man's deception. Deceived and blind, going to hell, unconcerned, an unconcern that is suddenly changed in the moment that the soul goes into redemption. We have read likewise a somber note from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, as we have read about a house of mourning. I think we'd call that a funeral home. I want you to think for a moment of man's death. Says the wise man who had much to live for in this life and who had opportunity for all the pleasures and pursuits of this world. He says there's a something of wisdom about thinking of the world to come. There is a something of wisdom in the instruction that comes in the house of mourning. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. So with that guidance from Solomon, who was known for his wisdom, I am going to ask you now tonight further, not to consider so much the pleasures of life, not to consider so much the things that you would like to think about, and the things that are so pleasant and appealing. I want to bring you tonight in mind to the house of mourning. And I want you to think with me of life's seriousness. Because the fact is this, every single one of us in the gathering tonight, every one of us is bound for another world. And the moments that we have here are moments to be treasured because they are passing from us. And one of these moments, you and I are going to be gone into the world we refer to as eternity. There was a man by the name of Arthur Stace, who died at 83 years of age in 1967. Lived in Sydney, Australia. And the day of his death, the Sydney Morning Herald, a newspaper, had this headline in it, Mr. Eternity has written his last word. That man was saved in 1930. He was a derelict, actually, and he came to get some food at a place where they offered him food. He got the food, and he got Christ as he listened to the message of the gospel. In 1932, on the 12th of November, that man heard a message that he never forgot. The message was entitled Echoes of Eternity, and he said, eternity so impressed itself upon my brain that I could think of nothing else. And I felt, even though I could hardly write my own name, a strange compulsion to write that word in every possible place I could. That man left his mark in his day upon the city of Sydney. Because you know what he did? Early every morning he would rise with his chalk, and he'd go out to the busy street corners, and he would write one word on the street. In a faultless script he would write, eternity. For 30 years, 50 times a day, he wrote one word on the pavement for men to see. Eternity! My friend, tonight, if I impress but one word upon you in the opening minutes of tonight's gospel meeting, then let it be this singular word, eternity. You and I are here for a short time. One of these moments we are going into the great forever. Where will you be for eternity? We have sung those words tonight.
It may be so solemn as to be offensive to some in the tent tonight. Let me repeat with you a psalm. Shalt thou, the hopeless horror shade of hell, for all eternity. My friend, before you turn away from the question, let me ask you to consider it. Is it a possibility? Life's seriousness. What is in my mind today, I suppose you can say it is what has turned my mind to a very serious line of thought. It's an experience that Mr. Higgins and I have sadly shared in this past year. I'm going to just take you back to Super Bowl Sunday night in this year. It was the 27th of January. I know it was Super Bowl Sunday because the man I'm going to tell you about, Steve, had done his best to get some of his friends to come along to hear him preach in a gospel meeting in the gospel hall where I meet most when I'm home. Steve gave out in the meeting that night this hymn. Life at best is very great. Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Cares, flowers soon decay, life and beauty pass away. Where you have not long to stay, be in time. He preached that night about the need for being ready, that at any time the Lord Jesus could come and the opportunity of salvation would be withdrawn. 32 years old, a teacher, happily engaged in his work, a healthy young man, just enjoying married life in his second year of marriage, the father of a little girl that would soon be 1 year old, just purchased a home in the neighborhood where the gospel hall is. I was away from home at that time. The next Sunday, my wife said to me on the phone, I'm worried about Steve. He's complaining about real severe headaches. I'm sorry to tell you, I thought, well, poor Steve, I hope he gets over his headache. The next Sunday, I got an emergency call, just before a prayer meeting of a gospel meeting. My wife said, tell the folks there to pray for Steve. He just had an emergency surgery. It doesn't look good. On Valentine's Day, that young man is gone into eternity. One Sunday, giving out a hymn, life at best is very brief. The next Sunday, concerned because of headaches. The next Friday, he went to see the doctor. The doctor said, you'll have to take muscle relaxers. There's something wrong, but I don't know what it is. You must be under too much stress. The following night, rushed to emergency surgery. The following morning, a brain tumor found in the surgery. Never regained consciousness. I so often think of his dear widow, just a young woman. She went to see the banker after the funeral was over. She had one message for the banker. She had one message for the neighbors. Every person she met, she told them what I want to tell you tonight. Listen, don't assume you have a tomorrow. She said, my Steve was healthy and didn't have any idea what the problem was, and he's gone. I want to tell you tonight, you may be healthy, but you do not have a lease on life. One moment, suddenly, sadly, finally, by whatever means I do not know, you may be gone out into eternity. And then where will your soul be for the great forever? Or at eternity's endlessness, appeal to some heart tonight. There are some in the meeting, and really, it kind of is a way to have a thrill in life that you live near to the edge of eternity. And you're recounting in your mind, perhaps even at the moment,
times when you have had a brush with eternity and you've defeated death. You've smiled in its face as you wished away. My friend, one of these moments,
you will not smile at the appointment and brush death aside. One of these moments you're going. And when you go, it will be to the endlessness of an eternity in heaven or in hell.
Come, O my soul, your certain ruin trace. If you would scorn the Savior's offered grace, infinite years of torment you must spend, which never, never, never have an end. Yes, you must dwell in torturing despair as many years as atoms in the air. When these are gone, as many to ensue as blades of grass and drops of morning dew. When all these years are spent in doleful pain and multiplied by myriads yet again, could I suppose that then my misery were at a close? That would afford some ease, but I shiver and tremble at that dread word, forever. Come with me then to the open casket, to the house of mourning, to the edge of eternity,
and think solemn thoughts as to where your soul will be forever. I hasten just to mention to you about the full house.
It is the house of heaven, and there is a supply in that house.
Here is God's desire that my house may be full. Could I tell you, lest by any chance I have given a misconception to you, could I tell you tonight that heaven is interested in your being there? God would love to have you with him in heaven. He's filling his house with men and women. And there are some that have told us since these meetings began that they have started for heaven. Would God there were some in this gospel meeting tonight that would realize there is nothing more important than my being sure that I'm in that house in heaven for eternity. There is a full provision for you.
God has made all the provision needed for you to be in heaven. You cannot go to heaven in your sins, but the Lord Jesus came from heaven to die at Calvary that your sins might be forgiven. You cannot be in heaven without being born again, but he has died at Calvary that by his death you might receive life eternal by faith in an uplifted Christ. And there is absolutely no limit. The God of heaven has provided full salvation for a world of men and women. Whatever the background, whatever the religious background may be, my friend tonight, God has provision for you. And there is heaven awaiting you tonight. If you'll come by way of Calvary, by way of the cross where the Lord Jesus died, there's a heaven for you, purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. A full house is God's love for sinners. A full provision is the death of Christ at Calvary's cross. God grant tonight that some eternal lessons may reach your soul, and that tonight before you leave this tent, would you mind if I just urge this upon you at this present moment, before you leave this tent, make sure that you'll be heaven for eternity.